Steve Gruber, defending the heartland from coastal elites every day. Here's Steve. I love to hear the thunder,
watch the lightning when it lights up. Well, the national anthem is a slave owner's song, apparently. So says Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Really? Well, yeah, the third verse says, let me tell you something. I didn't even know there was a third verse. I don't think most people knew there was a, I didn't know there was a second verse. I know one verse. I know one version of the song. It doesn't talk about slavery or white supremacy or white nationalism or any other such nonsense. It talks about America and America standing tall in the face of adversity. That's what the song talks about to me. It's about standing up and being proud as an American, whether you're black or white, Hispanic. I don't care. That's what it means to me. And somehow it's a racist song. It's a slave owner song. Really? Since when? Because it never was in my lifetime until this was presented by some social justice warrior recently. Horace Cooper is here, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. Horace, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
So, for the love of Pete, when did the National... I didn't even know there was a third verse. I didn't know there was a second verse. I didn't know there's anything but what I heard Whitney Houston sing at the Super Bowl, which gave me goosebumps. Did I miss something?
Part of this controversy started because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar analogized a national anthem and the offense that many Americans, including myself, take when football players want to take a knee or in other ways disrespect the flag, that pressure that they're supposed and expected to honor the flag and be respectful is akin to the hymns and spiritual Negro hymnals that were sung by slaves through coercion. This is what has brought about this conversation, that somehow our national anthem is the same, and that multi-millionaire one-percenters who want to disrespect the flag and are getting blowback because of that, they're the same as a sharecropper being forced over his objection to act like they enjoy working as slaves. It was offensive when he said it. It's untrue. And it's the kind of thing that lets you see how many people in their success, largely blue enclaves, are out of touch with what's going on in America.
Well, there you go. You know, and here's the thing. You know, I see athletes stand and for the flag at all ages, from all ethnic backgrounds, from all religious backgrounds, from all communities. And this whole notion that you can kneel for the flag or disrespect the flag, this came from a very small subset, and now it's being encouraged by some to show this attack on America. If America is such a bad place, Horace, why is it that more than 1 million people come to America legally every year? To emigrate to America legally every year, not taking into account those that run across the border just for the opportunity, the chance that they might not get caught so they can stay. That's, by the way, the million is more than the rest of the world combined. And so if America is this racist, oppressive, terrible place, why the hell does everybody want to be here?
Yeah, to me, it's the height of irony when you see people who are willing to do whatever it takes to leave their home country to resettle here. You talked about the million that come here legally. What about all of the people that are willing to get into leaky ships, that are willing to pay coyotes, that are willing to do whatever it takes? If this is such an awful place, if it deserves no respect, if it deserves no honor, where comes this idea for thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions of people, that this is the place they want to come? And again, I can't help but note the irony. Here you talk about multimillionaires telling us that they are oppressed. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was an accomplished athlete.
Yes, to say the least.
I never understood how unfair he thought America was.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't think it was so unfair when he was cashing paychecks and winning championships. and did he kneel for the national anthem for the Los Angeles Lakers when he was winning all those championships? I don't remember that. I don't remember speaking out and saying America was such a horrible place as he was building his mansions and driving his, you know, please.
Yeah, I mean, this is my point. This is my point. It is rich coming from these one percenters who want to tell the rest of America how unfair it is, how wrong it is. You know, we actually aren't required in this country to undergo the kinds of coercive actions of respect that we used to see in the Soviet Union, that you still see in Cuba, that people in Venezuela have to experience. We have a few opportunities to say we really like and are thankful that we're in this country, and the national anthem is one of those. For them to specifically target that national anthem goes to why I said the last time I appeared on Fox News, this is more about hatred of America than trying to identify any injustice or any unfairness. You don't use Mother's Day as the occasion to say, Mom, you were the worst cook I've ever seen. You don't tell your wife on your anniversary at the dinner, hey, honey, you've picked up 25 pounds. You need to lose weight. It's not the case that you can never criticize your mother. It's not the case that you can't say to your spouse something that you would like to change. It is the case, just as with the national anthem, it is disrespectful. It is wrong to use that occasion to act in an offensive way. You're a multimillionaire. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Why don't you open up your mansion and have a little tour, and in the middle of the tour of the mansion say, I'd like to discuss my views about inequality in America. That's a way you can do it. It's not in my business what you're doing, but it is my business when you stand up and you compare the greatest country in the world and honoring it for one of its bad episodes far, far removed in the past.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many generations has it been? I mean, let's be clear, Horace. I'm a guy who's never owned another human being, and I'm going to guess you're a guy who's never been owned by another human being. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, gee, right, that doesn't happen in this country. And you know, they would have you, they would have you believe that somehow America is the only place that ever had slaves. In fact, Brazil had six times as many slaves as the United States. The United States, comparatively speaking, had very few on the world stage, 3% or less. But facts don't matter. I mean, the Middle East had a lot more slaves than anywhere else.
Here's the thing. Why isn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about slavery today?
Yeah, it goes on today. You're exactly right, Horace. It goes on today in some countries. That's right. And it's just infuriating. I got to leave it there, Horace. I'll give you quickly 10 seconds, last word.
Check us out at nationalcenter.org, or you can follow our organization at Project 21 on Twitter.
Horace, well done. Good talking to you, as always.
Thank you.
And now a message from Salt and Light Global and its Justice Center. Freedom is never free. Fighting tyranny everywhere, the Great Lakes Justice Center speaks truth for the persecuted and most vulnerable. Please consider donating generously to Salt and Light Global and our Justice Center. We need your support. To donate, go right now to GreatLakesJC.org. That's GreatLakesJC.org. GreatLakesJC.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Being a mother-to-be is both exciting and overwhelming. From shopping for the best stroller to deciding which birthing center to use, there's lots of choices to make. Fortunately, the Economic Alliance for Michigan Maternity Care Project can help. It's an online resource for a mom-to-be in Michigan to educate herself on her options. Visit eamonline.org. That's eamonline.org. Then click Maternity Care Project, a public service announcement from the Economic Alliance for Michigan.